Tigo, and you guys know where you are on Expert Talk with who? Me, Tigo. And you know I love bringing you experts from all over the world that do all kinds of really cool stuff. And today, today you want to sit down. Today you want to know, take a second, get a notepad, get a pen, because today we've got Peggy McCall on the show. And when she comes on, baby, we're going to talk about, you want to be an author? She's got that answer. You planning on working on the internet and being an internet marketer? She's mastered that. This is a woman who had 19 books published and has helped who knows how many others do the same thing. So if you're thinking about it, or if you're not like I was, and now I'm thinking about it, you want to sit right there. We'll be right back. To the show.
Thanks, Tigo. Great to be here with you.
It's so great to have you here. I have to thank our buddy, Jennifer Hammond, for introducing us because, wow, I can't believe you're here. You are amazing. Let's just start there and just say you are amazing. Even your company name is amazing. You know, Dynamic Destiny. Where did it come from? Where did you get that name?
You know, I decided in 1994 to incorporate my company, and I really wanted a cool name, and not just a cool name, but a name that was a great reflection of what I was going to be doing in the business, something that was inspiring and a good fit. And I do my best thinking in my car. So I was driving down to Toronto from Ottawa one day, and I made a decision. When I got in the car, I made a decision. I'm going to have the perfect name by the time I get to my destination. So I was just driving and thinking. I was listening to some audios at the same time. And then all of a sudden, Dynamic came to me. And I thought, ooh, I like that name. I mean, it's dynamic just by, you know, on its own. Right. And then because I was going to help people find their destiny, live their destiny, shape their destiny, Destinies came to me. And that's when I just knew it was the perfect name, Dynamic Destinies, Inc. And I did a search, found out it was available, and incorporated the business.
You know, and if people are listening right now going, I got to change my name. Her name is so cool. And it really is cool. Let's go back a little bit, though. I like going back. You know, was Peggy planning on being an author her entire life? Were you 10, 15 years old writing in journals? When did you decide this? What were you like when you were 10 or 15?
I was a mess. It was like emotional mess, insecure girl, quite miserable. I was not a happy girl back then. And in school, I mean, I didn't even want to be there. Why do I have to be there? This is nonsense. What do I need this for? And I was just like a little rebel. When I was a kid, they called me the brat. And the brat is someone that, you know, you're told to do something, but you do something else. And so I earned it, honestly. But as far as writing a book is concerned, I didn't even think about it until I was 40. It had not even entered my mind space. And if I showed you my report cards, and I have them over there in the cupboard, and I pulled them out and showed them to you, you probably laugh going, oh my goodness, girl, like those were your grades in school. It was pretty, I mean, if we judge it, it would be probably called pathetic, but it is what it is. I mean, I don't have any judgment towards it now. I just wasn't interested in school, but I graduated. And so it wasn't until I was in my 40s and then boom, the idea came into my consciousness. Hey, you should write a book. And I immediately threw it in the garbage because that's where I thought it belonged. Write a book. For you to write a book. And that's what happens. As soon as people start to think about doing something they've never done before, those old beliefs start rearing their ugly head, just like in that whack-a-mole game, you know, it's like, whoop, pop up. Who do you to write a book? And then another one pops up. You have nothing to say, pop up. What do you think you can do that? Like, no way. And just like the whack-a-mole game, you're bang, 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 bang. Get rid of these old destructive beliefs because they weren't serving me. And then I went to my parents. I told my parents, I said, hey, I'm going to write a book. And their response was this, you're writing a book? Like it was a joke.
You know, that's one of the biggest problems a lot of people run into is that their support team, the people that are closest to them, are the biggest naysayers. You know, they're the biggest ones going, you can't do that. You know, there's no authors in our family. Where do you think you're going? You know, we're banking, we're construction. This is what we do. Fire and police. We don't write. What is that about? So when you decided at 40, what kind of book did you decide to write? And was it the first or the 15th draft that finally got published?
It was the first. So I had read lots of books. I started studying personal development in January 1979. I had just turned 20 years of age. I met Bob Proctor, and that was my first introduction to personal development. And it was a major shift for me. So I began studying at 20. So by the time I got to 40, I had read hundreds of books, and I loved studying success, loved studying personal development. And of course, I incorporated my business as well. So what came to my mind was to create a book that was really layman's terms understanding of how to create your destiny, because I found there were a lot of books out there, and there still are. There's many, many. And I just found that some of them were complicated. And I have discovered that success is not complicated. The complicated part is just us getting in our own way. And I decided to write a layman's terms, a simple understanding of how we create our destiny. And that was the reason why I wrote it. So I wrote it. I just made a decision. I was going to write it in a 30-day period, set my alarm for a little hour earlier every morning. And I wasn't writing for 30 days. I was a single mom at the time and, you know, had my son in the evenings and weekends. And I used to drive him to school and back from school. And I just decided I'm going to get up an hour earlier every morning before my son gets up, and I'll write in that hour. And I just started, I created an outline, and I just started putting bullet points in what am I going to write about. And every day I disciplined myself that I would write every single day. And at the end of that month, the book was written. And then it went over to the editor after that.
Wow, that's amazing. I mean, just to have that self-discipline right out the gate to be able to do that, because I mean, I've met people over the years that have been writing the same book for the last 10 or 15 years, and I think they've gotten past their title. But before I get too far off, I love the title of your first book, and it seems like the subject matter would be timeless. Like you could read this whether it's, you know, 1990 or 2021, am I correct?
Absolutely true. It is timeless. You know, On Being the Creator of Your Destiny is not something that went out of date. I have written books that have gone out of date because I wrote a couple of books on internet marketing, and that's completely shifted and evolved. So I have two books that are really out of date, but pretty much all the other content is written timeless in the same type of way, in a way that is easy to understand no matter what time it is or when it is in this world.
I mentioned in the open, 19 books, you've helped a lot of people publish their books. How do you decide it's time to do a new one? How do you decide to make it an actual business? Because there's a lot of authors out there. They write a book, right? And then I don't know what authors do. I have this vision of them sitting on a lake, you know, with their feet up fishing, you know, in between books, and they're not doing anything else. I'm sure that's not the case, but you've actually built an enterprise, an empire with everything that you're doing. How did you decide the path you chose?
That's such a great question. You know, when I wrote my first book, I was in a place called ignorance. And ignorance simply means not knowing, because I had an ignorant assumption that if you write a great book and you bring it out to the world, the buyers will come. Well, That's not what happens.
Uh-oh.
It's not what happens. And you don't go and put your fishing pole in the lake and put your feet up and just wait for all the money to pour in. I mean, maybe it's happened to someone somewhere. I don't know, but
it's not the norm is what you're telling me.
Not the norm. Very much not the norm. I learned, after I became an author, I learned very early on in the game, thank God, that it's an author's responsibility to do the marketing. And it doesn't matter if you have a publisher or you don't, it's still the author's responsibility to do the marketing. So that was something I learned very early on. So I made a decision that I'm going to invest a significant amount of time, energy, money into learning how to effectively do the marketing for my books. So I use this thing called the internet. And it was still early days of internet, people going online. I actually hired a guy to program a shopping cart so I could sell my books and my other things from my website. And when I produced my first book, I printed out 3,000 copies of a hardcover edition of the book. And wow. I had them delivered to my home. Nowadays, you don't have to do that. Like right. Savvy Wisdom, my 19th book is hardcover, but it's print on demand now, which is so much better and so much easier. But back then it wasn't like that. So I printed out all these copies and then I had to figure out, well, now I got to sell them because, you know, they went into the bookstores and they didn't do anything. I also learned as an author, when you're shipping, I managed to get my books into bookstores. When I'm shipping books to bookstores, if they don't sell, they ship them back. It's like a consignment store of sorts.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, me neither until then. And so what happens is you as the author have to pay for the shipping of the books and pay for them to ship back. So it ends up becoming an expense.
There goes your profits.
Right. There goes your profit. Like even to go through a distributor anyway. So I learned a lot in the early days, which was exceedingly beneficial. And I actually wrote self-published and released 3 books in 11 months. So when I released my first book in March, I released another book in November that year, and I released my third book in February. So within 11 months, I released 3 books and sold them all off my website. And that was really, Tego, that was a very eye-opening experience for 2 reasons. One, I learned how to effectively sell my books from the comfort of my home. And right. 2, it made me realize that people are hungry. They're hungry. They're hungry for information. They're hungry for knowledge. They're hungry for entertainment, if you will. They're hungry for information.
Ma'am.
Yeah. And so I think it's a phenomenal vehicle, the internet, to serve people no matter where you are and no matter where they are.
You know, it kind of brings up, and I'm going to veer off the path. I tend to do that every once in a while, but that brings up something because we are in 2021. People may be watching this in 2045 and they don't even know what COVID is. But right now we're in the middle of it and people are really starting to realize, yeah, you can do anything on the internet, and they're more hungry for data and information, and they're pulling it in. So wouldn't you agree that now is the time, if you've been planning on starting your business or writing your book or whatever, I think it's the perfect time to get started. What do you think?
I absolutely agree with you 100%. And there's 2 reasons of what you said. There's an opportunity here. There's an opportunity right now. Anybody can put their flag in the ground online. It's not like you have to find the property and buy the land. Like there's no land space. Anyone can set up a website and you can do it in a matter of an hour. I remember one Saturday sitting in the family room and I was talking to my husband. Now my husband's former military. He was with the military for 30 years as a pilot. He wow. doesn't know a lot about this internet thing. And we were just chatting, and I don't consider myself a technical person whatsoever. But he said to me, he says, is it possible to set up a website in as little as an hour? I said, sure, let me show you. And like, boom, boom, registered domain name. And I've done this before with my clients, like showing them just how easy it is to take an idea and implement it and launch something. I did that one day when I had a group of women that were in one of my mastermind groups, and they were in my home and they were here for 2 days. It was 2 days of strategic planning on their projects. And so one day they had asked me, they said, well, is it possible to just set up a program and start launching it and market it like all in one day and start earning money? I said, yeah. I said, do you want me to show you? And they said, absolutely. So I took my computer and I plugged it into the television that was behind me on the wall, and they watched. And I told them what I was doing. They watched as I did that, and I launched a program online and I started selling it, and sales were coming in my inbox, sale, 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 sale. And they could see, you know, just how anyone can do it. My belief is that if you can fog a mirror, you can set yourself up as an author or online. That's pretty much the prerequisite for it.
If you can fog a mirror, I love that. I love that. Now, we have to talk about something because I know people's ears are going, what? She did what? A lot of people get caught in perfection. You know, it's got to be perfect. It's not just right. The cart's not just right. Their product's not quite finished. The artwork hasn't come back from so-and-so. I don't really understand these things called funnels. You know, all of that that's going on, does that stop you? Do you wait until it's perfect, or do you get going and grow as you go?
Well, I know it's a little challenge for those perfectionists, but not for me. You absolutely go. Now, what I do suggest is test, you know, test things. It's like with your book. You know, when you bring your book out to the world, you have one chance to make a first impression. Same thing with your website. So it doesn't have to be perfect, and your book doesn't have to be perfect. I suggest every author get an editor, though. Like, everyone should be editing their work. Otherwise, they could end up putting out something that's going to portray a persona that's not true, right? Like, it could end up, if there's spelling errors or it's messy or it's not clean, then they're gonna create their own impression of that person based on their website, based on their book, based on their program. And so my suggestion is to put quality into your programs, your products, your services, your book, if you want people to think of you as a quality person.
You know, I read on your website, or one of your websites, because yes, I went deep diving to figure out everything I could about Miss Peggy, because I wanted to make sure I was prepared. And I read that your specialty is, you know, you're helping authors and you're helping experts. You know, it's a wide statement, but is there a certain kind of author that you help? Is there a certain type of expert that you help? Or can anybody even get your number, just call you up and say, you got free time on Tuesday? You know, what is your actual target?
Okay, two answers to that. One is that if you have a book or a topic for a book and there's an audience, I can help you. So that pretty much means any book. And then as far as an expert or wanting to be an expert, doesn't even matter. If you want to sell bananas, I can help you. So the thing that I've learned over the years that I've been involved that I've been involved in internet marketing is that, you know, it's relatively simple. There's a lot of common sense that's involved. But if we go back in time, even before the World Wide Web, you know, I've had different roles over my career. I was a national marketing manager at one point. I was a vice president of corporate development. I've had sales jobs. I've been in customer service. I've been a trainer and instructor. So I've carried a variety of roles. Like, the fundamentals of business and being of service to others will never change, right? You got to find, you know, where's the issue, where's the problem, and solve it. Solve it better than anybody else. So what problems can you solve? Like, I solve the problem of people don't know what to write, don't know how to write. I mean, there's so many different ways of writing books. And as you know, 19 books later, I didn't write many of them. And you don't
Wait a minute, what?
No,
I didn't write them.
Well, I had hired ghostwriters.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. With one of my books called Your Destiny Switch, which is a New York Times bestseller, Hay House bought the rights to that book. And I started working with a literary agent. And one of the things she suggested when I first started working with her is to get a ghostwriter. And at first I was insulted. What do you mean, get a ghostwriter? What's right. wrong with my writing? And she said, well, if your intention is to be a New York Times bestselling author, you want to write at that quality, and your writing's good, but it's not where it should be. So she said, let's hire a ghostwriter. And so I took part of the advance that I had received from the publisher, and those funds went to pay for the ghostwriter. So I've worked with a ghostwriter on a few of my books. But other things that I've done is I've taken course content. So, and I've been creating courses and delivering courses for many, many years, online and offline. And I would take course content. My second book was created from course content for a program that I created called 8 Proven Secrets to Smart Success. I just took the lessons because I had recorded them in a studio. So I had them written out, and I went to studio, recorded all the lessons. And then I took those transcripts. They weren't really transcripts. They were like just documents, and I put them together and I modified it, and that became a book. I co-authored a book with my good friend Brian Proctor, and the content for that book came out of a course that we delivered, then we recorded, transcribed, and that became content for a book. Now, there's so many different ways. I teach multiple ways to write a book, but there's a couple different examples.
Wow. Okay, before we go to break, I've got to answer a question, because people have heard, I've heard all my life, New York bestseller. You walk through a bookstore, you walk through Walmart, it says New York bestseller.
New York Times.
Why is that New York Times bestseller? What is the importance of that? Do you know where it, you know, originated from? And why is it like the top of the heap? You know, if you can say you're a New York Times bestseller, people literally will stop. It's kind of like winning an Oscar as an actor. So where did that come from? Do you know?
Originally, no, I don't know. But I do know that it's like the epitome of success. If you become a New York Times bestselling author, it's like, wow, it's impressive to people. You know, the other wonderful thing about being a New York Times bestselling author is similar to a song that Etta James had released. You can't take that away from me.
Love Etta James.
You just can't take, it was Ella Fitzgerald. I think it was Ella Fitzgerald who had said, you can't take that away from me. It was a song. And I remember hearing that and thinking, it's true. Like you, when you earn that title of New York Times bestselling author, it's something you own forever. It goes on your business card. It goes on your website when you're introduced. It goes on the next book that you release. And, you know, right on the button, as it says on Savvy Wisdom, you know, New York Times bestselling author Peggy McCall. Not all my books are New York Times bestsellers because I haven't released all of them online. My first three books I sold from my website. I wasn't selling them anywhere else other than my website. And there was a reason for that. The reason is because I had the inventory. And I made a lot more money as well by selling it from my own website. You didn't have to pay the fees to the distributors. So it worked out very well.
Well, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about, you know, Savvy Wisdom, because we haven't even touched that really, and talk about your current project, what's coming up next. And I'm sure I've got a few questions that people are going, wait a minute, she's talking to me. How do I do this? So sit right there. We'll be right back. Okay, you're sitting there. I know you want to know. And we've got Peggy McCall on the show today. And she's talking about being a New York Times bestseller. That's one thing that she does. But she is a true entrepreneur who believes in helping other entrepreneurs. So Peggy, before we left, you kind of picked up your book and you showed it to us, a little sneak peek of it. It came across the screen. There it is. Okay, let's talk about your current book. What's it all about? I read something about possible screenplay. I mean, come on, talk to me.
Yeah, so this book to me is like a miracle. And the reason is in 2020, I had created a program that I was delivering online for people to experience quantum leaps in their life, quantum leaps in their results. And the reason why I created that program and started to deliver it is because I chose to have another one myself. I mean, I've had so many quantum leaps in my career, and they're fun times because you stretch yourself, right? You stretch yourself. So during this experience, outside of the comfort zone for sure. And in that experience of making that decision and helping other people have one, I got inspired with an idea. And the idea just came to me. And it was to write a fiction book. Now, I had 18 nonfiction books released in the world, and some of them I wrote and some of them I didn't. And so I had a belief within me that I never considered myself a great writer. I thought I was a good writer, but never considered myself a great writer. And so even thinking writing a fiction book, to me, it was like, I would dismiss it. I wouldn't even entertain the idea because I didn't think it was possible. So then I just started thinking, maybe I could write a fiction book. And then right on the heel of that thought was the next thought, well, you should probably hire a ghostwriter. I don't want to hire a ghostwriter. I want to write this book. Not that working with a ghostwriter is not a good thing, but I just thought, I want to write that book. And then I said, okay, because I teach people to get out of their own way, I decided to get out of my own way and create a new belief. And a belief was, I'm going to write a great fiction book. And I personally love parables. I love parables, which are stories. They're like fiction stories, but they have valuable lessons in them. And I made a decision. I'm going to write a book. It's going to be based on my life, based on meeting Bob Proctor. And when I made the decision to write the book, I gave myself 10 days to write it. And it wasn't 10 full days. Again, I have
10 days.
Yeah, 10 days. Now I have a busy schedule, got appointments most days, but I decided I'm going to get up a little earlier. I could probably work in the evening. I might work on the weekend, and I knew I could do it. And I just decided I'm going to get on with the work. And I just started on November the 1st, 2020. 9 days later, I was done. I was finished. And you know something, Tigo? It just totally came to and through me. It was like one of these experiences where you're watching a movie and you're wondering what's going to happen next. But I would put my fingers on the keyboard and wonder what's going to come out of me next. It was a surreal experience. And I was in the spirit of the writing. I made a decision to have fun with it. I wanted the story to be really engaging. Like, I've had people tell me that they've read the book multiple times, like multiple times. I had one of my clients buy 100 copies and give them away. I've had many people buy multiple copies because they love it. And so I had written that book in 10 days. Now, Savvy, and I didn't even know what it was going to be called when I started. I had no idea what this book would be called. And Savvy is a character in the book. It's a main character that Sophie, that's me, based on my life. Sophie meets this gentleman named Savvy. And he guides her throughout this part in her life in this book. It's about a 5-year time frame that he's giving her wisdom that completely transforms her life. Because when Savvy meets Sophie, she's sitting on a park bench and she's inconsolable. And because she's there to kill herself, she went there because she has no will to live. She does not want to live. That was me when I was a teenager. And so in the book, Savvy hands Sophie a handkerchief. She doesn't even know he's on the bench beside her. And all of a sudden she's crying. She's inconsolable. And all of a sudden she sees this handkerchief come toward her and she grabs it because her nose is running and her tears and everything. She grabs it and she looks at it. And it has this embroidery on it that says, if you want your life to change, you must change. Mm-hmm. And that was the start of her meeting Savvy. But here's where it gets really fascinating. I had finished the book except for the final letter from Savvy to Sophie. Okay. And so it was the 10th day. So in 9 days, I finished everything else except this final letter from Savvy to Sophie. And I came into my office, turned on my laptop, you know, fingers poised, ready to write the final letter. And all of a sudden I got inspired with an idea. And that idea was to contact Bob Proctor and ask him to write the final letter from Savvy to Sophie, because the book was based on the wisdom that I've learned from him from 40 plus years of studying. And so I emailed him. It was 10:30 in the morning. And I emailed him and I told him, this is what I've been doing. And Bob and I are friends. We actually ran a business together for a few years as well. I speak at all of his events. So I emailed Bob and I said, hey, Bob, this is what's happened. I wrote this parable. It's called Savvy Wisdom. It's based on my life meeting you and the wisdom you've given me. And it leads straight to the end where the final part of the book is a letter from Savvy to Sophie. Would you be willing to write it? And he replied within 4 minutes. And he was away. He was working on a brand new program. He was away for an entire week. And he replied right away and he said, I'd absolutely love to. And that night, he said he got back to his suite around 9 p.m. and his assistant had printed out the book for him. And because I sent him the manuscript, and he said he couldn't sleep. He just couldn't put it down. And he's like, oh my goodness, I just love this book. He said, it's going to change millions of people's lives. He said, I've never felt anything so strongly before. He was just crazy about it. And he sent the letter to me a day later and it was perfection, absolutely perfection. So the book is, to me, it's like a miracle baby that I gave birth to.
In 10 days.
Yeah. In 10 days, not the 9 months and not the push in. And it was easy.
I love it. I love it. You know, that's amazing. I mean, you did this in 10 days. There are people that, you know, before we came on, I told you, I know people that have been writing a book for the last 10 years and I'd be shocked if they have a title yet, or even the front page. It just, get moving. But you, when you get focused on something, have you always been that way? When you see it and you get focused on it, you just go at it 110% until you're done? Has that always been your attitude?
Yeah, I suspect it has. My family told me, you know, that I was like that, but that was, you know, not always in a positive way, because that was a little bit of a wild one, you know, years ago. But I wrote another book in a day. I remember it was a number of years ago. I don't even know what book number it is, maybe 11 or something like that. But I'd been asked by a publisher to write a book called 99 Things I Wish I Knew Before Marketing on the Internet. And it was part of a series of books. And they had asked me to write it. And I said, sure, I'll write that book for you. But they never told me when they wanted it. Like, you need a date, a due date, right? Like, when are you going to get it done?
Exactly.
So they never told me. So one day I got this email, and I was flying out west. I was traveling and speaking at different engagements. And I got this email landed in my inbox saying, we'd like the manuscript by the 15th of the next month. And it was the end of the previous month. So I had 2 weeks to get this book done. I was traveling, so I didn't have time while I was traveling to write. So I remember getting back home, and I said to my husband, I said, honey, I'm going to write a book this weekend. He's like, oh, well, I invited like aunt so-and-so and uncle for the weekend. It's like, oh, okay. When are they coming? And he said, Saturday afternoon. So Friday night, I did the groceries. Saturday morning, I got up. I did an outline for the book before they got there. They arrive. We do socializing, have a nice visit, go to bed. The next morning, I woke up at 3 and I was refreshed. I was ready to go. And I went into my office and I just made a decision. I'm going to write a chapter an hour. And I started writing. I got a chapter done in an hour. Ooh, I'm going to write the next chapter in an hour. By 9 o'clock Sunday night, the book was written.
Wow. That's wow. Okay. See, and people think that I do stuff really fast. I've never done that. You know, I've never written a book, but thanks to Miss Peggy, I'm about to, or at least get a ghostwriter to do it for me, because no. When I look back and I'm looking at the conversation that we're in the middle of right now, and I'm thinking Savvy Wisdom, you know, you said this is the first book that you've written like this. Will there be others that come after this?
Yeah.
Have you got the bug now? Okay. I
have goosebumps.
She has goosebumps. Okay.
Well, you mentioned the bug. You know, the interesting thing is when I wrote my first book, I wasn't thinking, oh, I'm going to write more books. Not at all. But there is a bug. There is something that happens. And I see it with my author clients as well. They get the bug. And so after I wrote my first one, and then I made a decision to write a second one and a third one, well, the rest is history, as you know. But after writing Savvy Wisdom, and I'm so in love with this book. I know that might even sound weird coming from an author, but mostly because it is based on my life. It's based on my story and what I've learned from the wonderful Bob Proctor, which did transform my life in every way. But it's the response that I'm getting from the marketplace, from the readers. That's like, they're going goo goo gaga. You know, it's people are crazy about this book. It's changing lives. And it's a book that's attractive to men, women, boys, and girls. Like, I can't tell you how many people have told me that their teenagers or their kids are reading this book and loving it. And it's going throughout the family. I have one client, he has 4 kids. Every one of them is reading it and they're fighting over it. He had to order more copies because they all wanted it. So, you know, that's like my purpose here on this planet is to make a positive contribution to the lives of millions. And there's a variety of ways that we can do it. And I've helped many wonderful people as well. Wayne Dyer was a client of mine, Greg Braden, Debbie Ford, Marion Williamson, Neil Donna Walsh. Like, I helped them all, Dean Graziosi. I've helped so many people, you know, get their books out to the world as well. And so I believe all of that work, all of that effort is part of my purpose in life, to make a positive contribution. But I really, truly believe Savvy Wisdom is going to make its mark. So I've started the not next version, but More Savvy Wisdom. For now, it's got a working title of More Savvy Wisdom. But I'm focusing right now on this baby. You know, I got to get it out in the world in a bigger and a grander way. And then we'll get to the next one after this one is enjoying more limelight.
You know, I've been a Bob Proctor fan for years and years and years. So every time you say the name, my ears go, ooh, because I have been a fan for years. But I want to talk about, you did this in November of 2020, if I'm correct. You wrote Savvy Wisdom. People are sitting around, literally sitting still, waiting for COVID to pass. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. Why did you not wait? Why was that timing perfect? Or do you just follow your heart?
Oh, totally follow my heart. Absolutely. I was intuitively guided to do this. And, you know, COVID, you know, when COVID began, I remember at first thinking, oh, what does this really mean? I mean, pandemic, the last time there was one was 1917. I didn't know what to expect, but felt eternally grateful for having an online business because this became booming, like a booming business, but slowed down, not in a chance. I've been busier than I've ever been. You can ask my husband. The only thing that's different since COVID, and whether they're listening to it now or 2045, is I haven't been traveling, which has been great. But in my entire adult life, I traveled all the time. Even in my career, when I worked for other companies, I was traveling all the time. So this has been the most unique experience to not travel for an entire year. And I have loved it. Now I'll travel again, but I've really loved being home. It's been wonderful.
So who is your perfect customer? Who's your perfect client? There's somebody out there right now that's waving their hand to the screen like you can see them saying, I want to work with you. I've got a book idea. I'm in the middle of writing it. I got to get to you. And there's somebody who's an entrepreneur going, she's speaking my language. How do I get in her classes and her programs? Who's your perfect client? And how would they get in touch with you? How would they, you know, join your programs or order 100 copies of your book?
I love that. My perfect client is someone that has desire and is willing to do the work, because I give them the best guidance that I have from what I've created in my own life and in my own business, but it is up to them to implement. But desire will be the fuel, you know, to keep you going while you're pursuing your dream. And I am so blessed. I have the most amazing clients. To me, they're family. Like, they really are. When I have calls with my clients, it's just like getting together, like a family reunion, if you will. And so I feel very, very blessed to serve people that are appreciative, people that are kind-hearted, people that are honest, ethical. They're my kind of people, because that's the way I am. And anyone can find me. I mean, it's so easy, right? PeggyMcCall.com, you know, MCCOLL.com, PEGGY. It's so easy. And everything's on my website, contact information, everything that I have, everything that I offer, my social media sites, all right there at PeggyMcCall.com.
Awesome. I can't tell you, I could sit here and talk with you all day. I know I've got to let you go. I don't want to. I know I've got to let you go, but I could sit here and talk with you all day. You know, I have not yet read the book. You and I talked about this. I've already been slapped around because prior to the interview, but as people know me and I don't keep secrets, you guys know that I have dyslexia. I've got a strange dyslexia. I don't see spaces. And when I'm super stressed, reading a novel is really hard for me, but I am going to get this book read because I've heard amazing things about it. And now sitting here talking with you, I definitely have to, because I want you to come back, I hope, and we can do a Q&A. We can answer some fan questions, sure. Do that kind of thing. So I've got to have that book read, because I can't have that look when she comes back. And what do you mean you haven't read it yet? I will have it read. I've heard amazing things. I want to thank you so much, Miss Peggy, for spending time with us, spending time and sharing your wisdom, just a little bit of it. Hopefully you'll come back and share a little bit more.
Sure. And
I truly appreciate you.
Well, that's so sweet. And you know something? You're going to be happy about this. The book's coming out. Audible has the book. Bob and I recorded it in his studio. Plus, here's another idea for you, Tigo. If you like, you can have me and Bob back and we can talk about Savvy Wisdom, because I'm doing interviews with him as well.
Don't tease me. Are you serious?
Absolutely.
I'm about ready to make that happen. If I wasn't connected by wire, I'd be dancing around in a circle right now. Oh my goodness, that would be fantastic. Okay, you guys heard it here. As soon as we have the date, I'm going to let you know. You know, as always, guys, I'm Tigo. And I bring these fantastic people for one reason, because you guys have dreams and hopes, but you also have fear. And you sit there and you talk yourselves out of what you can and can't do. And sometimes you find yourself a little lost. So I hope you hear these stories and realize we were all a little lost at some point in our lives, but we found our way through and we continue to find our way through. That's why we call it trailblazing. So I hope you come back next week. And I hope you watch this episode again, because there were all kinds of little nuggets. And when you're ready, reach out, ready. Now, you know, Tego, don't mess with me. Ready, reach out to Miss Peggy and tell her that you're ready to work with her. Don't have her call me talking about you reached out and you didn't have nothing ready yet. That's not how we do this. I'm Tego, and I'll talk to you next time.